Snack Bar Games Podcast. Alright, and welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 216. I'm Graham, and this time I'm here with Matt, Jerry, Sean, Andrew, and Chris. Hey. And how's it going, guys?
Good?
Pretty decent.
Yeah. I'm not sick this time.
I'm really tired, y'all.
Oh, I have to fight this worm again, really?
I've been real busy this last couple weeks.
Yeah. So... Yeah, everybody's back. We're back to a regular schedule now from the craziness that was November. I don't know about you guys, but I've spent a lot of time trying to catch up with all the stuff that happened in November.
Uh-huh. I haven't.
I'm trying to catch up with March.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been preparing around here for our Game of the Year awards, and I know a lot of us have been trying to catch up on things we should play before that. But yeah, you guys can look forward to that. Over the next couple weeks, we will be revealing our picks and our Game of the Year, and we'll have a special Game of the Year episode of the podcast as we bring the year to a close. But back to this one. Let's start off with news, and most of it is from the VGAs, right, Sean?
Pretty much. We got more news on Metal Gear Rising, which is now subtitled Revengeance, which I know is going to give you nightmares, Graham.
Oh, I thought that was a joke.
No. Revengeance.
That was in the podcast notes, and I was like, that's funny that a thing that they wrote that's funny, and... Nope.
No, that's a thing. And the whole trailer is just explaining why they called it Revengeance. if you have to have a whole trailer explaining why you called something, you should probably have come up with a better name.
Just a video of people in a big round table in Konami doing coke.
That's how they came up with transferring, so I mean...
Yeah, I was going to say, if Revengeance has transferring... You'll need to find a new managing editor because I will have no more brain capacity.
Transfer these pills into my throat.
Oh, the Vita version will be Metal Gear Rising Revengeance Transferring Edition.
Portable ops.
In the Vita one, you have to swing it around to do all those sword cuts.
Acid.
Are you just saying random subtitles?
Yep.
I like the first Acid, but I was like 15 when it came out. So.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance Acid. It'll be a card version of slicing.
Revacid.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my friends likes to say that all the Metal Gear games are Metal Gear Acid, but it's hard to argue with them. But yeah, so that, I mean, Platinum Games is doing that now.
Yes.
But basically, I mean, is it just me or does it just kind of look like the trailer we saw a year and a half ago?
It's like that, but even crazier and less fruit slicing. More people slicing.
Yeah, they want to compete with Fruit Ninja.
People Ninja?
Yeah, there you go.
Metal Gear Fruit Ninja. That should be the subtitle.
Well, I'll take that over Revengeance.
Yeah.
But Sean, besides that, what we got?
Besides that, we got a new Tony Hawk game, which I know Graham and probably Andrew will be interested in. Because it takes the best levels from the first two and releases them in HD.
What about the soundtrack?
I do not know. They didn't say anything. Soundtrack.
If Goldfinger is not on that soundtrack, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, here's the thing. Goldfinger is one thing, but like to me, the iconic Tony Hawk song, and I don't know about you guys, is Ace of Spades.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I mean, just like, if I had to pick one, like that needs to be in that game.
I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it needs to be in it, but for me, it's all about Goldfinger. Like, we would just play that game and just play that song. It's like when you play Crazy Taxi. Like, you think you're going to get tired of the same Offspring song, but you don't.
Oh, no, yes, you do.
No, you don't. Maybe you do, because you don't have a heart.
I don't, I don't even like Crazy Taxi. I never got sick of those songs.
Yeah.
But I honestly,
you use the skateboard peripheral if you want to.
No, we don't talk about that.
The Robomoto is doing the development on that. That wasn't something they really put front and center. But so yeah, the developers of Ride and Shred are handling this, which is interesting. I personally was hoping that maybe Neversoft could jump back in because they don't have Guitar Hero on their plates anymore.
Is Neversoft even a company? I was thinking that too.
I was like, wait.
Like, I don't even know what's going on with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Robomoto was not much of a company after this either, but I mean, who knows? I'm looking forward to it. I was really hoping they'd include Tony Hawk 3.
I was going to say, do you think they will release the like levels from that game as DLC or as a separate game altogether?
So, I think it would have to be DLC. Like, I don't think they're going to release Tony Hawk HD and then Tony Hawk 3 HD. Like, I mean, the whole thing about making it downloadable is that, I mean, they can probably release map packs or something. I'm okay with that, but I feel like if they don't include just a couple from 3, I mean,
you guys going to buy the Tony Hawk season pass?
Three was the best Tony Hawk in my mind. I mean, 2 was really good, 1 was okay, but like 3 is just
yeah.
Yeah, that's the pinnacle.
I think
3 was the one
in
Django Fett, right?
That was 4.
Oh.
3 had Spider-Man?
Two had Spider-Man.
3 had
Iron Man was in it.
3 had Darth Maul, didn't it?
It was Darth Maul and Iron Man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, those are definitely in there. Either way, you know, I think a lot of the original maps are iconic, so like, though no one would want to go back and play the original over the other games now, having those maps is probably the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But limiting it to just Tony Hawk 1 and 2, I don't know, it just seems like if I wanted a version of Tony Hawk 1 and 2 together that I could play on my 360, I already have that.
It's called 2X.
Tony Hawk 2X. I mean, this could be better, but like, without having anything extra and having it just be 1 and 2, it's going to lend itself to that kind of problem.
It'll have online, probably, so there's that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't care.
Hey, guys, I just thought of something cool. So I was thinking because of the conversation we had that we should do an episode about like soundtracks. But what if we just did a whole episode about Rob Zombie's Dracula and its relation to video games?
I could talk about that song for a while.
Me too.
All right, the Matt and Andrew Dracula show.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Is it?
The ditches and
coming 2012.
Okay. Slammed into the back of my Dracula.
Hey, Sean, what else happened?
I was just gonna wait to see how long it took you guys to run out of stuff to say about that.
That's not ever gonna happen.
I was trying to get interrupted, and you guys just let me go.
The next one is Naughty Dog's new game, The Last of Us, which looks to be a take on the zombie action game.
Yeah, what do you guys think about that one?
It's I Am Legend, the game, made by Naughty Dog. That's what I
think. F zombies. Zombies are boring. I'm done with them. Even with Naughty Dog zombies.
Really?
Yeah, I'm so tired of zombies. No more zombies.
I figured Naughty Dog being the developer would be enough for you. Do you at least give it a chance?
You would think that. But even they put zombies in a Yakuza game and I don't want to play it. Nope. Zombies are not a thing that gets me that is the thing you put into a game if you don't want Matthew J to play your game.
Hmm.
And your movie. And your TV show. And your comic book.
If you don't want Matthew J everything to else. Play your comic book.
Unless it's Rob Zombie.
If it's Rob Zombie singing Dracula, I'm all about it. Or White Zombie.
Yeah. I think it looks really cool. I'm
actual thoughts on this game.
Does this game allow me to dig through ditches, burn through witches, or slam into the back of my Dracula? If it features any of those things, I'll play it.
Find out at E3. But, no, I think it looks really cool, and I'm glad that Uncharted is making a new game. I'm glad that Naughty Dog is making a new game that isn't Uncharted.
Well, what impresses me the most about the trailer they put out is how it's apparently not CG at all. It's all rendered on an actual PS3.
Yeah.
I think it's still generated by a computer, though.
Yeah.
Those weren't people.
Yeah, you know, I'm less impressed by these are real scenes stuff these days. I mean, there's not that much difference these days, you know?
Yeah.
To between how much you can run on a PS3 and how much people are capable of creating. So, I mean, it's nice to know that that's running on a PS3, but if the PS3 version had pre-rendered cutscenes, I wouldn't care.
I guess it's mostly the concept of the game. I mean, I guess zombies aren't that exciting anymore, but it's Naughty Dog's take on a zombie game is interesting to me. And I think it was late last night that the lead designer who worked on Enslaved, which is one of my favorite games from last year, is actually working on this game. So,
oh, that's awesome.
He works at Naughty Dog now.
Wait, what lead design? What did he do? Because if he worked on the gameplay, I'm not excited. But if he worked on everything else, then I'm excited. Because
I don't know. I just know he was the lead designer of Enslaved.
Yeah, actually playing that game is the worst part about Enslaved.
He's one of the many designers working on the game, so it's not something that really noted.
If he did, if all he did was Andy Serkis's eyebrows, I'm excited. Because goddamn, the eyebrows in that game.
Best eyebrows of 2010.
Yeah, that game, they should have like developed an eyebrow engine out of that game. You guys should just when I stop talking, just start talking again.
Sean, go.
Speaking of developers trying something new, Fortnite is right. Epic's new game.
So
I did not see the trailer for this one, so I have no idea what it's about.
Okay, so let me explain it for anyone who hasn't seen it, though. You should just go see it. Basically, they took the art style of, say, like a Team Fortress 2, and then they took the gameplay of, like, Minecraft, and then they made it what seems to be co-op, maybe first-person shooter. It's hard to tell, but, like, so what happens is it's, like, a very cartoony style, and then you go out and you, like, scavenge for parts to build up your fort, and then night falls and, like, monsters and stuff come at you, and you have to defend the fort.
So it's also kind of like I Am Legend, but
also kind of tower defense.
Yeah. Graham.
Yo.
How long do you think it'll take to play Fortnite? Do you think maybe like
Sean,
a couple weeks?
What's the next trailer?
Like 2 weeks, about 14 days. I'm so pleased with myself.
Okay, seriously.
I did two shows last week, you guys. I'm riding high off that, as you can tell.
All right, Sean, was there anything else?
I don't know. I stopped watching the VGAs about that point.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say the VGAs were painful. And
so how about that Spider-Man game?
Mechas.
Spider-Man
Hate Robot.
Mentioned that I'm kind of interested because it's back to Spider-Man in an open city. Which is cool, but it's...
Yeah, that was the actual part I was interested in, but then they showed that, Spider-Man fighting mechs, and yeah, kind of...
Yep.
And Beanox isn't the best developer around. I mean, the last two Spider-Man games were okay, but they weren't very good, so I don't know.
Tactful words from Andrew.
Yep.
We also saw the Transformers Fall from Cybertron.
Oh.
I don't know if that trailer was any piqued your interest at all.
Did you see, do we see Dinobots in the trailer?
I think so.
Okay. Because that's what sold it to me on the Game Informer cover.
It followed the Gears of War style of put sad music and slow motion in your trailer and people will be interested. And people were interested, so
reveal, like, when it takes place?
No, it was just robots fighting in slow motion with sad music playing.
Okay.
You'll have to watch it yourself to see if you get anything out of it.
No, I'm probably not going to do that.
Because I'm not a huge Transformers fan, so a lot of that probably, if there was anything like that, it probably went over my head.
I like the Transformers. I'm not like a huge fan. I mostly like the comic books. But if they're still on Cybertron, why are there Dinobots? Like, they got to be off of Cybertron.
Cybertron falls. It's the fall of Cybertron.
So, yeah, but even if it falls, like,
it falls onto the land where there's Dinobots.
That still doesn't make any sense. You're just ruining.
It's Transformers. Canon. It doesn't make any sense.
That's not canon, and I can't. I don't have time to invest in things that aren't canon. You know how many novels there are based on Transformers?
No, and I don't wish to know.
All right, man.
Let's move on since apparently we are. Okay, yeah, whatever. let's talk about what we've been playing, and Andrew, we'll start with you since you want to wax poetic about a downloadable title, right?
Oh yeah, I want to talk to you guys about a little game called To the Moon, and I think I'm going to start by saying if you have any interest in good storytelling, just like not just in games, just in general, then this is a game you need to play. Matt, I think you would love this game. I'm just going
to
tell you.
I'm really excited to play it because I haven't had a chance yet, just because I haven't had money to spend on video games. But I really, really, really want to play it.
If you hate puppies and sunshine, then you cannot play this game.
I hate video games. Is that a problem?
Actually, no, it's not.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. No, but it's only about 4 hours long, so you could sit down and play it in one sitting, and you know it'll go really fast. But anyway, it's kind of a it's less of a game and more of a just an interactive story. There are definitely gamey elements to it, but they're not that amazing. But they carry the story along, and that's the important part. It follows these two doctors who have the job of going into people's memories and trying to fulfill their last wish by going back through their memories and reconstructing them in a way that they remember they remember doing what their last wish was. So in this game, they are trying to help an old dying man whose last wish was to go to the moon. But he doesn't know why. So they basically have to go back through his memories from his last memory to his earliest memories and try to figure out why he wants to go to the moon, and also try to, you know, rearrange his memories in such a way that he does actually do it in his memories. It's kind of a lot like, if anybody's ever seen Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, it's kind of a lot like that in terms of the memory plotline, but it's really, really tragic stuff. I have not had a story in a game just affect me as much as this one has, and gorgeous soundtrack. It kind of proves to me above anything else that you can make a game that's not really a game and it can still be like incredibly compelling. And I don't know. I can't talk about this game enough, but so I really recommend.
Is it good? Is the game good?
Yes. It is a good game. I mean,
how long does it take to play? Because for me, I think story-based games generally tend to be better when they're a bit shorter, like when you can play them in a couple sittings, because like for me, like certain games, they use their length well when it's like a JRPG or something, like where it builds and builds and builds. But other games that use a story that are, even if they're just around like 20 hours, I think it gets lessens a bit, because if you play it in 4 or 5 sittings, it doesn't affect, it doesn't hit you all. Like when you watch a movie, you sit down for 2 hours, you experience a beginning, a middle, and end of a story. Like I always want games to do that, and not enough games do it. When a game does, like first time I played Monkey Island, I basically changed my life. Like the first time I played, it's not a story that affects you in that way, but
yeah,
it's the first time I ever sat down with a video game, except for Pokemon Snap, which I'm not going to count, but it's the first time I ever sat down with a video game and played all the way through, and then like in one sitting and told me a story. And that's where my love of point and click adventures comes from.
This is a game that I recommend sitting down and playing this in one sitting. It's like I said, it's only 4 hours long, and it goes fast.
Good.
It goes really fast. It might not even be that long, depending on how much you like to like explore the different different memories and environments you get to see. But it goes super fast, and it's kind of a really unique storytelling method that you don't see that often. Where you're going through this character's memories from the very last all the way to his earliest memories, and if done right, it's done really well, and To the Moon pulls it off really, really well. So it's basically a point and click adventure game. Although if you use a controller, it's kind of like a 16-bit RPG, and a lot of the music is kind of would fit right into a 16-bit RPG from the like Super Nintendo and Genesis era. So.
It looked like that to me. Like it looks like an HD update of those that they do, like Final Fantasy 1, 2, and 3, or the Ease remakes. Like how they have all the same proportions, but they're drawn much prettier.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. Yeah, it looks great. There's a lot of original artwork, as well as I think a lot of it was actually made in RPG Maker, but there's a lot of original sprites in there, so it doesn't look like it kind of does, but it doesn't really feel or look like a traditional RPG Maker type game. But there's a lot of original artwork, and It's just really, I don't know. Without spoilers, the last hour or so of that game, just I was ready to start crying. I swear, it just really, really impacted me.
Oh, I want to. Maybe I'll pick it up tomorrow. Really selling me on. I've like someone's gonna get a Christmas gift late because I really want to play this game.
No, seriously, I can't recommend it enough. And once you finish playing it, you're gonna want to buy the soundtrack too. So there's that.
God, there are enough nowadays. Enough adventure games come out that I really thought about this. That could be all that I play. Like, I could just stop playing every other kind of game and just play adventure games. Because there's, like, everything you're saying is what I like about video games.
Yeah.
And I'm the only person that agrees with me. Like, no, it's, I know you do, but it's like, this, like, every, like, God, it's just like, oh, it sounds so perfect. I want to play it so bad. Graham, make me captain of adventure games.
No, but, I don't know. Unless anyone has any other questions about it, like, if I keep talking about it, I'll start spoiling it, and I really don't want to do that because this is a story
you need to
experience.
Like, should people play it though? Like, I don't think you've made that clear whether you like it or whether people
just buy
play
it. You don't have to play it; just buy it.
No, like, yeah, you can just. Yeah.
How good's the story though? Like, is it good? Like, is it a good story?
It's actually kind of mediocre. It drags a little in the middle. I don't think anyone should buy it. Actually, it's a terrible game. I don't know what I'm talking about.
There we go.
Seriously. Fly to the moon. Buy it.
I have one actual question and one thing to say real quick that's slightly related to this because it's a game that's distributed digitally.
Okay.
In a great way. There is a thing going on right now that it affects video games and no one will listen to me. I'm sure you know who comedian Louis C.K. is. He just released his new special, which he paid for out of pocket, made totally out of pocket. He released it on his website for $5. Everyone go buy it because someone making something himself this way will affect everything that's distributed digitally, especially independent video games. Because the whole medium is moving toward digital distribution, but most importantly, independent games. And if people realize, oh, this guy paid for a movie on $5 downloads and streams, people will take notice, especially people in other mediums.
Yeah, so that's kind of been going on since. Well, I mean, I guess the.
Well, it's always been going on, but Radiohead
released their album on their own, at only pay what you want on their site, and it was their highest grossing.
It was the highest,
to date.
But this also the same thing. Like that's still a Radiohead album. Like this is a famous comedian who has had, you know, his stand-up specials in theaters and has a television show, a very successful television show. Like this will be noticed more than anything that's been done this way before. And just did $5. Go pay $5. It's hilarious. I watched it last night and support independent media. But also, Into the Moon, you mentioned exploring the environments. Is there a lot to look at? Is there a lot of flavor text?
A lot of it is kind of the same areas because it's going back through his memory, so it's a lot of it. It's in some of the same areas, but there are new things to notice, and there are actually little things that I played it twice now. There are little things you will not notice the first time through. Some that are mentioned to you by the characters, some that are kind of obscured, but really really neat little references and things. Oh, and one more thing. There are lots of references in this game. There's a lot. It's a really funny game too. But the humor, like the references and the humor, don't really negatively impact the story. The story is still like really 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 strong. But there are references from like Dragon Ball Z to Doctor Who to The Matrix all over the place. So it's great.
Sounds like one of my shows.
So yeah,
it's fantastic.
It is fantastic. If I could talk about it, I want to do a someday, maybe not like for another year because that's when everyone will actually play this game. But I want to do a kind of a spoiler podcast on the story of this game because it's
worth
talking about it.
We should totally do that.
Yeah, the second episode of the Matt and Andrew show.
Yeah.
But let's move on. Let's move on to another game I've been playing, which is Fortune Street. I haven't played too much of it yet.
Yes. But also a great story in that one, from what I heard.
Oh, yeah. You know,
yeah, it's got the Dragon Quest characters. Of course it does.
Stocks like, and
This game came into my store, and people have been asking about it all week. They've been like, is there a new Mario game coming out? And I was like, I don't think so. And then it came in, and we're like, what the fuck is this? This is it's Mario and all the Dragon Quest characters in a Monopoly game. And then we found out it's very famous in Japan and has, like, had a bunch of games in the series.
Yep, this is the first one. And I've been wanting to get into this series for a while.
Yeah, and Sean, you and I played it this summer, and for some reason got naturally excited by the idea of playing this, like, Monopoly variant. I think
there's nothing natural about being excited about a Monopoly variant.
Yeah. I've owned plenty of different Monopolies, and they're always stupid, but I love it.
The slimes will rule all.
Well, it isn't broken like Monopoly is, which is, I guess, the main thing. But but it's very reminiscent of that. You know, buy properties, roll around boards, but there's a little bit more to it. It's not quite Cold Sep level crazy, but there's something to it.
Cold Sep is awesome.
Yes, but Fortune Street.
Fortune Street is also awesome.
Yeah, great story. It's really it's really the American story. It's about the 99%, and you not being that person because you won because you have a big pile of money.
Did anybody else play Dokapon Kingdom?
Dokapon Kingdom is also great.
Yeah,
that's a good way to lose friends.
Yeah, I did once.
That's a way to lose a Wii. I bought it to play with my family over Thanksgiving break, and my Wii died when I tried to play it.
Oh,
it's all Dokapon Kingdom's fault.
It is.
But my experience with Fortune Street is playing two matches with CPUs, which don't do that. It's stupid.
Don't do that.
Yeah, if you're gonna buy this game, you're buying it for the multiplayer. So
it has online multiplayer.
It does.
This is a free Nintendo game. What the hell?
And it works really well, aside from
damn friend time. Games.
It's also a very Japanese Nintendo game.
Wait, this is a first-party title, effectively, right? It's published by Nintendo?
Yeah, it is, at least here.
Oh, that's why it has online multiplayer, then, because third parties can't be bothered with that crap.
Well, I think it was a Square Enix title in Japan.
Yeah. Square developed it. Nintendo just published it here, but I've played, like I said, a couple of matches with the CPUs. It's interesting if you want to get to know the basics, of course, but aside from that, there's really no reason to play the game single-player. You can unlock things for your Mii, but, you know, they're kind of neat, but that's about it. Yeah, and the online, the one big thing with the online, I haven't played this local, because with local play, you can pick any of the characters, you know, the characters you want to play as, like the Mario and Dragon Quest characters, but in online, you have to play as your Miis, which is stupid. I don't get that.
Is it one of those things where you pick it, and then you're kind of, like, randomly matched against people? If that's the case, there might be a problem with, like, oops, I picked Mario, you picked Mario.
So no one fights over Luigi, because everyone wants to be Luigi.
I never played with random people. I just played... I played with three friends, and we all just had our Miis. So I didn't actually just try to match it with random people. I should try that, though. But
yeah, but one thing I'm really curious about this game is, like, how many boards does it have? Are there any variants to the gameplay? That's the kind of thing I'm most interested in, but I could probably see this summer.
It has I would say at least, I'd say 20 to 30 different boards. I think there are some you have to unlock from the single player, but I'm probably never going to do that, so I'll never see those. But it's now the boards are different in terms of the size and the placement of the different tiles, but they're like different backgrounds. Like you'll have some from Dragon Quest and some from Mario. Like one from Mario is the Mario baseball field, but it's not the actual, you're not playing on the field, you're playing on a board floating above the field, which is just weird to me. I don't know. It's just kind of silly, but the actual boards, I mean, most of them, the only differences are the placement of the tiles and how long the actual game will go on for. They have, like, whoever can get to 10,000 gold to 20,000 gold, I think, is the highest it goes. So, in terms of the board variety, it's interesting, but again, they don't seem all that different.
Yeah.
So it's basically just like, if we're going to compare it to Monopoly again, it's basically just breaking out the old Fortune Street board and playing that with friends over and over again. Sometimes it'll look a little different, but it's, you know, the same game, and I'm fine with that.
What Dragon Quest characters are in it?
Slime, most importantly of all, Slime.
Oh,
yeah.
Play as a slime?
You can play as a slime. Yeah.
Can you play as a king slime?
No, sadly. Just regular old slime.
King Blubba.
That's good enough.
Like playing King Blubba.
I know there's Platypunk, who's also awesome. And then, I think Jessica from Dragon Quest VIII,
Yeah, I know she's on the cover. She's like the most prominent. She's more prominent than Mario on the cover, actually.
Young Yangus, also from Dragon Quest VIII. Some Dragon Quest V characters I'm not that familiar with because I've never played V.
Oh, you should get it.
There's the Dragon Lord from 1.
Dragon Lord from Dragon Quest 1, yep. I don't know. I a lot of them are probably in Dragon Quest games that I haven't played, except for 8 and 1. And I think maybe one from something from 9, maybe? I don't know.
Is Koopa Troopa in this game?
I don't think so, no.
I thought he was on the cover.
Is he?
This game looks like the cover of this game. Is that how the cover looks in Japan? Because it looks like a Chinatown knockoff. That's what I thought it was. I was just like, why are we selling this game? And it looks like a thing. It looks like there's, it'll say like Star Wars on the cover, and there's a picture of Bruce Willis from Die Hard. And then it's got like an Ebert quote that says like, Jar Jar Binks is great. You know, they just Photoshop a poor cover. It looks like that. Like it's the most poorly put together cover ever.
I don't know, it looks fine to me.
It doesn't look that way to you? It totally looks weird.
I'm inclined to agree, but not in the actual quality itself, but yeah, like the layout of the characters, the positioning, stuff like that, does kind of feel fakeish.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I recognized most of the pictures from like other stuff. Hmm. Like it was just all publicity stills and other game covers that they just cropped together.
Yeah, I just looked it up and it's the same cover in Japan, so I don't know. No. Maybe that's it. Maybe they got lazy with the cover. It's basically, if you're in Japan, you know the series, you're gonna get this next game anyway. I don't know how well it's gonna do over here though, considering Nintendo just kind of threw it out there. I don't even think they had any trailers for it. Like, aside from E3 stuff, they didn't have any real trailers or anything for it until like a week before.
It's a game with Mario on the cover.
Yeah, it's gonna sell at least 100,000.
Sold a bunch of copies already. I was really surprised. People were asking about it before it came out, and I was really surprised.
It'll sell much better than Rayman Origins.
I've been pushing
that
game.
Did you hear about that? In the month of November, it apparently sold, 40,000 copies over all systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been pushing the hell out. It was on sale. It's been on sale at least twice since it came out.
I would blame the general public for this, but I don't. I blame you.
No, I blame Ubisoft, yeah. They sent us a free copy, too. Our store got a free copy. But it's for the Xbox, so I couldn't play it.
You can send it to me.
Now I'm depressed. I don't want to continue this podcast anymore.
Hey, you know what won't depress you? I just bought To the Moon.
Oh, sweet. All right.
Yep, I own it now. It's mine.
But did you buy Rayman Origins yet?
No.
I'll be buying To the Moon eventually, too, Andrew.
That you can blame me for. You don't need to blame Ubisoft. You can blame Gameforian for not paying me enough as well.
I'll buy it when it's like $20.
Which it will be very soon, I'm sure, so...
Oh, yeah, sure. It was on sale for, like, $30.
Yeah.
Because it's a $50 game, right? Yeah, they went on sale for $30. And no one bought it.
It was $60 on 360 and PS3, and $50 on the Wii. And, yeah, it's been down to $30 and $40 so far, but I don't think it's been past that yet.
I'm holding out.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Now so... until they make sure that they won't make another one. Good.
Or another Beyond Good and Evil.
Oh.
No, guys, Beyond Good and Evil 2 is going to happen. It's coming.
Okay.
It's happening up for the Wii, so I don't care.
It's happening in France.
Don't worry.
Hey, we got last story.
Wait.
Fuck up.
Oh, Xenoblade.
Oh, Xenoblade. Whatever.
We don't have last story.
We don't have last story
yeah.
yet.
Okay, the what other one. Look, my Facebook is just always full of updates from the water, what is it, rainfall? Yeah. And so they all just kind of melted together in my brain now.
Speaking of Mario.
Sure.
Graham, you've been playing Mario Kart 7.
I have. And it's another Mario Kart game.
Whoa.
I heard a lot of people complaining, like, it's too much like the other Mario Karts. Those were phenomenally successful games that were like... the top three best-selling games of their console generations. Like, if you want a game that's not like Mario Kart, you probably shouldn't go looking at Mario Kart games.
Mario Kart,
yeah.
Especially the seventh
Mario Kart.
You should have bought Split Second and Blur when they came out.
Well, Split Second's not really, but Blur definitely is a take on that kind of item racing.
Yeah.
Thing.
If you don't like Mario Kart,
a magnificent game.
If you don't like Mario Kart, there is Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine.
Yeah.
There is Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine.
Wait, did you just say Blur is a magnificent game?
Yes.
Oh, really? Cool. Yes. I'm gonna pick it up. I've been waiting for someone to tell me that so I can pick it up and like.
No,
it is really good.
It's gorgeous and wonderful, and I have it on 360, so we can't play multiplayer. But that's okay. You should stop.
Ah,
and it's hard.
Oh, if you don't like
the single player, is the single player
buy Crap Scene Racing on PSN?
I got that for free recently. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
Don't play that
game. Yes, buy Crash Team Racing.
Don't.
I bought a memory card, PS memory card off a guy for like super cheap because he just wanted to get rid of it, and it came with Crash Bandicoot and Crash Team Racing on it. So I got it for free.
Yay! I love Crash Team Racing.
But so, Mario Kart 7, game. At first, it seems a lot like Mario Kart Wii. And that's warranted because the art style is the same. It uses a lot of the same roster, a lot of the same things, you know. But
it doesn't have Dry Bones. What the hell?
What?
It doesn't have Dry Bones, but I'm not that bothered by that. Was Dry Bones in Mario Kart Wii?
Yes.
He was my character. Okay.
I know he was a main character in the DS game. I just can't remember about
And Mario Kart 7 doesn't even have Waluigi, so.
But then again, it doesn't have Waluigi.
He's not really a Mario Kart character, though.
Yes, he is.
He's been in Mario Kart.
Best stages ever, Waluigi Pinball.
He's more of a Waluigi. Mario.
Waluigi Pinball is in this game. That's one point I wanted to get to. And so, I'm okay with the characters because there's Lakitu now. And
what? You can play as Lakitu?
Yes. And so I'm done. I'm happy.
Do you throw spinies?
No. I mean, you're just. You don't have special items.
I thought maybe they might. Well, in the GameCube one, you did.
Sure.
So it's not totally a dumb thing that I said.
Okay.
Tell me I'm not dumb, Graham.
Mario Kart 7.
Yes. But yeah, so the point I was going to make is the more you play it, the more you realize that they understood that they didn't have to reach every 3-year-old and every grandma. With this game, that like they had to do with Mario Kart Wii, you know, they really tried to make it accessible and really kind of, I don't know, it was generic in a lot of ways.
I could agree with that,
and not quite focused on like your core Nintendo fan base. But with this, I like seeing what stages they picked for the retro tracks. That was, that's basically the track list I would have picked.
Everyone is saying it has the best track list in any Mario Kart game, from the new ones and the old ones.
At first, I was a little disappointed that they put a lot of, a lot of Wii and DS tracks and not much of the retro stuff. But when you start looking at that, they picked really, really good tracks, and then they picked the couple of tracks that made a lot of sense to add gliding and underwater segments to. It's like you don't so much blame them for like, yeah, okay. You know, I guess the one with all the water, you should put that in this game. but no, my four favorite Mario Kart Wii tracks are in there. Koopa Cape, Maple Treeway, Coconut Mall.
No Shy Guy Beach.
No Shy Guy Beach, though I have to say I miss Koopa Beach, or specifically Koopa Beach 2 from Super Nintendo. It was probably my favorite beach level. But yeah, so, and then there are a couple interesting new tracks. Music Park's pretty cool because you race on, like, keyboards and you bounce off, like, tambourines and things like that, and they all make the noise as you go by. I don't know. That one's just a cool one in the same way that, like, Waluigi Pinball and TikTok Clock were in the DS version. Just really, I mean, gimmicky, but it's okay because it's just one track kind of thing.
So, how are the gliding and underwater mechanics?
They're all right. Have you played Kirby Air Ride?
I have not.
Well, the gliding is like Kirby Air Ride.
That's a good game. That's an underrated game.
It is. But I mean, a lot of the problem with that game was that it just didn't have quite as much depth and customization as a lot of people want. But like having those gliding controls, that works great. I mean, basically, you can go a little faster by tilting down or try to gain some height to get to special areas and things like that, or get above obstacles by going higher. But generally, it's a good idea to be in the air. So that works. And then the underwater segments are not that notable. I mean, you're just kind of floating around. You're a little slower. There's less friction. I mean, it doesn't change the game that much at all. It's mostly for visual variety, which I'm okay with because it's a 3DS game. And if it looks cool to be underwater and have, like, lighting effects underwater, then sure, put some underwater segments in the game.
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna ask if how the 3D is.
The 3D's all right. You know, as I said at launch with Ridge Racer, this is a system where racing games are good. The 3D effect helps you actually play the game. Just generally, you know, depth perception helps you know when turns are coming and things like that. There's no extra design you really have to do to make 3D work.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Nintendo's figured out how to not really make your eyes hurt. It's a very natural 3D. There have been a couple games that have had a little trouble with that, but I mean, it's just solid.
Does it work with the tilt controls very well? I've heard that, like, you can tilt
the... do first-person driving mode. There's... I don't think 3D is available in that mode. I certainly didn't use it. So it's like everything becomes just like the view. If you really want to do that, I mean, you don't want to do that. But
they included it as an option because felt like they had to.
It's a lot like using the wheel with Mario Kart Wii. It's not very good. It's kind of gimmicky. It's a little strange. It's kind of a badge of pride if you can manage to do it and beat other people.
I like the wheel.
So you had the little icon. I don't know. I'm a remote nunchuck person for that game. But you know, like they put the wheel beside your name, just like they do with the Wii Wheel and the Wii game. Just kind of like this person's doing that, and it's kind of like, whoa, how'd you win? But you know, it's all right. The online has improved some. It's not much better, but they added communities, which is an interesting thing, which allows you to like kind of race in groups of people. We actually have a snack bar community, but we haven't really done much with it yet. But you can set them up and kind of race against groups of friends rather than trying to like only invite people on your friends list or something like that. You can kind of like, all right, these are my friends from this site, or these are my friends from this group I'm in, which is kind of cool. And it keeps individual standings for that.
I heard with the new 3DS update, you can actually look at your friends on your 3DS, and if they're playing Mario Kart 7, and you have Mario Kart 7 in the system, you can join them.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Nice.
They're adding that to a lot of games now. So it's just like looking through your friends list, like playing this game, join. And that's
great.
That should have been there day one, but I'm okay that it's there now. I'm not going to...
Better late than never.
Marginally. Better before than now as well. But yes, no. I'll take it when I can get it. But yeah, so I mean, Mario Kart 7, if you wanted Mario Kart on your 3DS, this is that.
How does it... I mean, I know you're probably one of the biggest Mario Kart fans around here. How does this...
Well, probably.
Yeah, there was that whole thing where I'd streamed every single track in succession on the site last year.
You are a Mario Kart fan around here. So how does this rank for you among
this
the...
This is one of the better Mario Kart games. I'm not sure it's going to be everyone's favorite or anyone's favorite. Because, you know, there is that phenomenon where your first Mario Kart is your favorite Mario Kart, and a lot of that's true. In every series, especially this one, there are advantages to each one. Like, Double Dash will still have a soft spot in my heart for having the cooperative racing.
Cooperative all-kart tour is one of my favorite things ever.
Yes. No, that's... I wish they'd brought back all-cup tour in this one, but I'm not sure it combined with the 3D would be a very good idea.
That'd be old.
Double Dash is my favorite Mario Kart.
But I think probably anyone who plays this game will rank it in their top three Mario Kart games.
How does it stack up to Mario Kart Arcade?
Mario Kart Arcade is the worst Mario Kart.
It is. It is the worst. It's one of the worst games.
It's But it doesn't have Pac-Man in it?
Yes. It has a bunch of Namco characters, which is really weird.
If you have earplugs, it's bearable.
I disagree. I think the worst part of the game was playing it. That game was
awful. I mean, it's an alright arcade racer. I mean, you know, it's okay. But then, you know, they have that weird, like, announcer guy who sounds like he was just like a guy sitting around the office, like, we need some announcing for this game. He's like, oh, okay, so Luigi is now in the lead. Luigi is still in the lead. And, like, you know how fast I just said those two things in succession? That's how fast that he'll keep saying words. That game's not good. But
that kind of reminds me of the announcer from Sonic and Sega All-Stars, which I turned off
it's
immediately.
Worse than, it's like that three times as often. That's exactly what that is.
That's a pretty good game, too. That game
is
good. That is a good game.
It's a Mario Kart.
So, I know you've been playing another game that
you've
been after for a while.
Yes. Yeah, so I have been trying to track down a copy of this game since it came out in Europe a while back and finally managed to get a copy. You may have heard of it. It's not going to come to the U.S. It's called Inazuma 11.
Oh, God.
It says that when you turn it on. It's Inazuma 11, but I like saying it like they do. Inazuma! But yeah, so like it's, I love this game. I don't know how much to say about it. It's got a little bit of Pokemon to it because you're collecting team members and putting together your squad and leveling them up and increasing their stats. And
I was hoping you'd say you're catching Pokemon, putting them in Pokeballs and using those as the soccer balls.
What? Yep. Is that what happens in this game? That sounds awful.
Horrible.
But no, I mean, it's developed by Level 5, so it has a lot of that art style of like Professor Layton. It reminds you a lot more of that because all the dialogue is with British accents, because that was where this game was localized. But you know, there's just so much of this game that's, it's just, oh gosh, this game is like addictive. I really like this game. I'm really sad that
you sound like
the only one in English.
You sound like me talking about To the Moon.
Kind of, yeah. Oh, it's this great story, right? So
yeah.
There's these kids, right, and they play football. They're footballers.
Do they have to go through the memories of some old man who wants to go to the moon?
No, the old man wants to play football.
Oh, okay. So they have to go through his memories.
Right.
Okay, good. I'm on board.
Okay.
All right.
But no, I mean, it's kind of a dumb plot. It's like, oh, we're reviving this club at this school that used to have a club, but it doesn't anymore, and no one really knows why. And then a whole bunch of people are trying to fight against them to stop them from doing. I mean, it's pretty dumb, but it's fun. As someone who likes basically all the parts of this game, The game plays a little bit like a combination of like Nintendo World Cup and it's turn-based.
What?
Kind of.
It's Blitzball.
I mean, you're moving around and you're controlling people with the stylus and you're kind of moving around. But whenever a person like starts to tackle or you're about to shoot,
you have to go to an RPG battle.
It stops, and then you can choose whether you want to lob it or whether you want to tackle or slide, or like it stops and it gives you a choice of, you know, two standard moves, and if you have a special move, like if you have a special tackle, you have a special shot, then you can use them then.
Let's ball.
Can you cast Spoofu on them? That was a Mega 10 thing. Never mind. No one.
Dude,
Blitzball
was a cool game. How come everyone hates Blitzball? I think Blitzball
because it was
awesome.
Bad.
It was played really bad, but it's still a really cool game.
it was terrible to play.
I think a lot of people's issue was that it was shoehorned into a different kind of experience, and only people who like both of those experiences played
it. Did those people play Final Fantasy VII? Every couple hours, they're like, now it's an RTS, now it's a racing game, now it's something stupid, now it's a fighting game.
Those are great, though.
No, they all sucked. You're wrong.
Those were great.
The RTS part on the mountain? That's the worst thing that's ever happened.
Totally not nostalgia talking.
No, that level is the worst thing that ever happened to Japan.
Fort Condor?
Yes.
Yeah, football!
It is the biggest tragedy that ever happened in Japan.
Inazuma!
No, I liked Fort Condor and Blitzball, but Blitzball was better.
Oh, man.
I liked all of them.
I think my favorite part of Final Fantasy X was the part where you dodge lightning. Not really. So, Jerry, what have you been
playing? The emotional things?
I've been playing Metal Gear.
I see you've been having a lot of fun with the MGS2,
the VR missions.
That's it, yes.
Yeah, that has to be like, I know it's not an actual required part of playing through the game, but I feel compelled to do so, and I'm playing through it, and I see why I never actually bothered to complete it when in the original version, because I don't know what went through them when they thought that having you play as Raiden and Snake and giving them both the same missions for alternate versions of each character was a good idea.
But there's trophies involved, so you have to do that, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But I do own a copy of it, but I never actually played the extra stuff in Substance. So the only experience I have with the VR missions are from the actual MGS VR missions game on the PS1. So
yeah, I mean, actually completing like the VR missions game was a lot more fun than completing this.
So is this just kind of boring in comparison, or just there's just too much of it?
Too much, and it's kind of dull because, like I mentioned, they give both characters the exact same missions. Only Snakes are actually harder because they stick in more targets, more soldiers, etc., etc.
That's kind of lame.
Yeah, but anyway, I've actually been enjoying the collection itself because I recently finally joined the HD generation with an HD TV. And I mean, the games still look like PS2 games, but they still look gorgeous.
Snake Eater, especially, it's amazing.
I'm actually waiting to play Snake Eater because I popped in two. It still looks great. Peace Walker looks like a PSP game, the character model wise, but the actual environments and actual vehicle models are mind blowing. Considering it's a PSP game.
Mm-hmm. But wait till you get to Snake Eater. It'll still blow you away.
Oh, definitely. I can't wait for that one.
So, how about you, Sean? What have you been playing?
I've been fishing and fighting criminally insane serial killers with puzzles.
That's great, but what have you been playing?
World 2.
No, also...
Fishing Resort and James Noir's Hollywood Crimes.
And Portal 2.
Yeah, so let's start with Hollywood Crimes, because to me, the idea of that game seemed like something you would like. Because there's puzzle solving, and there's, like, criminal investigation something. You know, I know you like a lot of the Ace Attorney games, like, I think you were even a big fan of the Ace Attorney Investigations game, which was kind of a hit or miss with a lot of people. But it didn't really seem to click with you, did it?
No, the main problem was the pacing of the story. It's a 3 to 4 hour game, and that's it. And it tries to tell an entire virtual criminal murder mystery novel in that time period. And the pacing is just horrible. Like, you'll go in, the basis is that you're this puzzle mastermind, dude. And you get on this show in the 60s, I believe, where you're on TV and you're solving puzzles for money. And after every single episode, you get approached by this friend of yours who's on the police force, and he's trying to solve a serial killer's mystery. And, of course, the serial killer wants to get caught, so he leaves puzzles to help you find him. And it takes, like, 5 to 10 minutes to finish each episode on the TV show, and then immediately you're thrown into the next chapter of the serial killer's mystery. And so, in the period of an hour, you'll cover twists and turns that should take hours to figure out. And it just ruined the whole feel of the story for me.
So it just basically, it just all moves way too fast, and you don't really get a chance to breathe or anything.
Right. Like, you'll be powered through it, and then you'll have this twist thrown at you. You're like, well, what do I think about that? Oh, too late. I have to go back to the, I have to have another twist to deal with.
That sounds kind of silly.
It's like, you know, this guy's dying, but I don't know. I could use a couple more $1,000, so let me go back and record another episode of this show.
Well, there's no one dying. Right. They're already dead by the time you find them.
Then you really need to hurry up. You need to be faster. Figure out the puzzle before he dies, or else it's kind of dumb.
Who developed this game?
It was Ubisoft.
Oh, okay. That
it's actually one of the better games. If they'd paced it right, it would have been one of the better games they developed this year, or in recent years, other than Assassin's Creed.
And Rayman and Ghost Recon Shadow Wars.
Yes.
Ghost Recon Shadow Wars mention.
Will not be the last one.
Definitely not. But yeah, as it was just a middling attempt. But if they'd done the pacing right, it would have been a very nice story to try to get through.
Okay, well, so yeah, I mean, it's disappointing, but what about fishing? You've been fishing.
I have been fishing. I've had to go over to my brother's because Dokapon Kingdom killed my Wii.
It's a resort. Your brother lives at a resort for fishing.
He does.
Yeah.
This one is actually a Namco Bandai game that was localized by XSEED. So I had no idea what to expect whatsoever.
I figured you should expect fishing.
I was going to say, there should probably be some fishing, maybe a resort of some kind.
I was thinking maybe fishing with RPG elements, but there's no RPG elements.
There's just fishing.
Just fishing. Whenever you catch fish, each fish is worth a certain amount of points. Yep. You get better quality fish, it's worth more points.
Yeah, that's how fishing works.
Yes, and you use those points to buy better rods and reels and bait to catch better fish.
Yep.
So it's a fishing video game. Yes. In which you fish for fish. Yes.
I will say it's very boring if you're playing by yourself. But if you're playing with a friend, then it's not as boring.
Because it just seems really weird that XSEED put this out.
Yes. No, it doesn't seem like there was that much localization required either.
I guess this is another one like, you know, Atlus put out a Mahjong game. It's weird for them to just throw a curveball like that. But I mean, you know, maybe it'll sell. Sephir knows. No, that won't sell.
Maybe
it's more than Trails in the Sky. Who knows?
It might help that.
But yeah, so not a huge fan of fishing.
Well, let me put it this way. I have fished about 10 times in my life, and I've caught one fish over that entire period. So I'm a little bit better on fishing resort because it's hard to not catch things in a video game. But it was almost as boring.
How's the story? How's the story in the fishing resort?
If you like fishing, it's a nice game, but it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, and I do actually want to know about the story.
Go through an old man's memories and fish.
Yeah, nope. do you fish in his memories and try to pull out other memories?
No, but there's a guy that offers to sell you this really cool yacht for $100 million or for a dream.
Whoa.
Hey, cool.
So this is a prequel to the Moon.
Do you solve times?
So what?
A game show about fishing?
No, but you can run an aquarium.
That'd be cool if you could solve like fish crimes, like that
Do
show.
You play
fish
football
police.
And fish? Can you fish in?
You can play blitzball because it's in water.
Yes. But there's sharks and eels in the water.
Is dry bones in this one?
No, all the fish are alive, and there's no dead turtles either.
Is Waluigi in the game?
Yeah, that's really a deal breaker if there's no Waluigi.
He might have been the fish trainer.
No, but there's Waluigi's resort. That's in the game now.
Okay. Cool. Sold. Alright. I think that about does it for any new releases we've been playing, right? Yeah. Okay. Yes. So we can move on to our topic. The year in games.
Whoa.
That's a big topic.
It's original. We're the only ones to do this.
Yep.
But no, I think it's important to talk about how things were for each system. Because it's really been an interesting year. You know, it's hard
well,
to tell.
That depends on what system you own.
Interesting in different ways. I think let's go ahead and start with the system taking a curtain call. Good old venerable DS. Now, as we go through these, we will go around and give our grades for how we think the system did this year. And Chris, you know, we got to start with you with this. Thoughts on the year in DS?
It started out really well. My yep. first third progress report was all optimistic and stuff, and then it evaporated.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. The first quarter of this year was arguably one of the best, if not the best quarter the DS has had, because yeah. we had...
That may just be, like I mentioned, I think, in one of my year-end thing, it may just be spillover from 2010. It's like all the stuff they couldn't cram into 2010 happened in the first quarter.
We had Ghost Trick.
Yeah.
Radiant Historia.
Yeah.
We yep. had...
Black and White.
Black and White. And there was another big release early this year. Monster Tail was really
yeah.
good.
Was this year, was Shin Megami Tensei Strange Journey this year or last year?
That was last year.
Okay.
Yeah. But after that, completely fell off a cliff. I mean, we had Solo to Robo, but that was
kind of an alien.
Alien. And Layton, basically.
Right. Layton and, yeah.
Kirby.
Aliens. Aliens was good. Kirby Mass. Okay. So there were a couple coming down but like the first quarter was really impressive, I think. Yeah, I'd have to. I mean, that was a really good first quarter. Like, there were three games there that, you know, I'd rank at least top 15 games yeah. ever released.
Dragon Quest IV wasn't Dragon Quest IV this year?
Well, that's six.
Six was released yeah. on Valentine's Day. So I mean, that's another example of like that. That was a really good quarter, and then
yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna give the DS a B for the year just because. Not many years produced three like Hall of Fame level games for a system, and I think it did. And but yeah, that's a charitable B.
A very charitable B.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Yeah, but what's your grade, Chris?
For what is probably the last year of the system.
Hey, there's
almost the DS curled up and died.
DS Survivor 2 next year.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I got a subscription to Nintendo Power. When it shows me the upcoming titles for the next couple of years, and I look under the Wii and the DS categories, it doesn't give me hope for next year at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I could tolerate giving this maybe a high C+.
Okay. Matt, grade.
I am going. I mean, there was one release. Ghost Trick, which may very well be my number one of the year. I'm going to give it a high B. So there's at least a high B.
All right. Jerry, thoughts?
Well, I do agree that the early quarter for the DS was just amazing, but then it kind of just completely fell off the map. So I'm going to give that a high C, if just because... Like, three noteworthy games released in three quarters of the year isn't exactly, you know, a good thing.
True. Sean?
I'm going to give it a low B, because okay. there wasn't a large quantity of games, but the ones that were released were very good.
Fair enough. And Andrew, DS?
I'm going to give it a Q, F. because I've never you played any of these games. But I just want to know one thing before we get into the 3DS stuff, which I think is either coming up or, you know,
right.
soon.
Handle that
but
next.
I like the fact that I think that just from my point of view, I think the DS seems to have a better lineup this year than the 3DS, which is Nintendo's brand new system. But I think, I don't know, just like, we'll get into that, but
yeah.
It seems
that
way.
That's not crazy, because, you know, the games we're seeing for the DS now are the late system, taking a long time to develop, finally getting these things out, really pushing the technology stuff. And the stuff we're seeing for the 3DS was the let's rush this out and get it to market stuff.
True.
Oh, in that note, let's actually talk about the 3DS. And I will start out by saying, they really pulled it out at the end of the year. It was not a strong year for the 3DS, but a lot like that college student that sees that he's failing and crams for the exam. We got you know, a really strong set of games in November. We got Super Mario 3D Land, and we got Mario Kart, and those are a big deal. No, I mean, those are a big deal. You know, when you think about the life of the system, you know, you think about the DS in its early years. Before it got Mario Kart DS, which I think was the turning point.
Was that either that or I think Canvas Curse? They're right around the same time. I think
Canvas Curse was one of those early games.
You mean Canvas Cruise?
Yeah,
yes, Canvas Cruise.
I was going to say.
Yeah, there's underwater sequences in that. And Waluigi, no dry bones though, which was just
that's awesome.
But no, I mean, I think, you know, there's Ocarina of Time you can play on this thing. I mean, the launch lineup, Ghost Recon Shadow Wars notwithstanding, was not great. I think we can all agree with that.
You're being optimistic or too positive about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to give Mario Kart and Super Mario 3D Land are really good games that will that are not just good for the early days. So they'll be good games for the life of that system. So I think
of Star Fox on the 3DS.
I think if you really like Star Fox, it was not that great a port. I think it had less features than the original game. I mean, the multiplayer was kind of ruined. I mean, it was all right. But I remember
that was one of the few titles I was even remotely interested in when I was looking at the 3DS in the first place, and it still wasn't enough for me to pick up the system, which is saying something.
No, I mean, you know, I really hope that they can have a better year next year, or else they're in serious trouble. But that said, we got Devil Survivor Overclocked, which was kind of cool. There have been some interesting downloadables, actually. Pushmo Intelligent Systems just put this out as an interesting little, it's kind of like a push and pull block puzzler game, but I don't know. Intelligent Systems seems to figure things out. They're kind of reaching here, aren't I?
Yep. Yeah.
C-. I'll give it a C-.
I'm going to have to go with a B since it's a launch year. There were four or five pretty good games for a first year for a system.
Yeah.
I'm still looking forward to Dr. Lautrec.
Yes, Dr. Lautrec and the Forgotten Knights.
I just want to say, this is of course our own personal ratings, but saying it's a launch year, is that really a good excuse anymore?
For a system, yes. There's,
I mean, a system as different as this one, I think yes. Where it's not a stock kind of thing. I mean, the 3DS, the Wii, that's what Nintendo does. They introduce some really weird hardware and developers have to get used to it.
Yeah, they're not that conducive to, I'm just going to port this or upscale this, which is a lot of what people do in a launch system.
Wait, that's what they did, though.
Yeah, I was going to say.
What are you talking about?
Well, there were some things, you know, we could talk about Ocarina or something, but like
Ocarina
generally
and
those
Survivor,
games, those games aren't
Star Fox.
As impressive, is I guess the point.
And the Virtual Console?
That like, you know, Rayman, we don't want to really play. I mean, there were a lot of ports, and that's what happens with the launch, but they're not usually as good on a system where just a normal game isn't.
And the portable NES games and the portable GBA games. Oh, wait.
3DS Ambassador Program. Say words to us, Nintendo. Let us know when those GBA games are coming. Even if it's just, sorry, we delayed them into next year. Just say it. Say words to us. Don't send us pictures of Shigeru Miyamoto sitting in a real-life Mario Kart. Don't send us pictures of Justin Bieber's new music video where he holds a 3DS.
Send us pictures of Miyamoto flipping a table over in 3D, like toward the camera.
Now you can send a video of it, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Own a 3DS, and I give it a D-, if just because the lineup didn't compel me to actually pick up the handheld.
I give it 3Ds.
I'll echo that completely.
I'm the opposite. I bought it and sold it because of the lineup.
Yeah, it's becoming a lot better of a deal now. I'll say that.
That's
now,
true.
You can get it for, you know, with a game for below $200.
This weekend it's on sale.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can get, like, the Zelda bundle really cool looking for, like, $179 or something this week.
$179.99.
Yes, and those 99 cents are what'll kill you.
I give it an M for Mario because it had Mario.
Give it
rated M.
H for I hate handhelds.
Rated M for Mario.
All right, well, Andrew, what is your PSP grade?
Wasn't that Trails in the Sky game really good? I don't know.
one of the E's games of this year, right? And Persona. Yeah. And
oh, yeah. Persona 2.
Yeah. And I know about more.
I'm sure Jerry can back me up on this, but it seems like the PSP actually had a pretty decent year. At least if you're an RPG fan.
I'd actually give the PSP like an A-. Like there were a few genres that were missing.
But the JRPG was missing.
But overall, there were a lot of good fighting games.
Like 12 really good JRPGs this year.
Yeah, that's enough. That's great. That's a year's worth of games, though.
Sure. I mean, you know, we can talk about this. Like, Trails in the Sky was great. This year, we also had Final Fantasy IV, the complete collection.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Dissidia, Dissidia.
The Oath and Felghana was this year. Tactics Ogre.
Oath and Felghana was this year? That means there were two Ease games this year.
Wait.
Yes, that's true. Yes. This year was Oath and Felghana and Ease 1 and 2. Ease 7 was last year.
Yeah.
So there were three Ease games on PSP this year.
Oath and Felghana wasn't this year, right? I bought Felghana for E7.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. But they were released in very rapid succession. One and two. That was a release this year. But besides that, there are really good games there. But
there were some good PSP minis as well.
Hey, where is my heart? Really cool.
That was pretty good.
That happened.
Besides the JRPG, I don't think there's much there. But that said, you kind of have it for the JRPG. Right?
Hey, there was Corpse Party.
There was Corpse Party.
I actually lent a friend of mine my PSP for this week because he wants to play that. So I'm getting a free copy of Corpse Party.
You should play it. It's pretty great.
I'm really excited to play it. He's text messaging me about it.
I will give the year in PSP a B minus.
I am a PSP super fan. I will give it an A.
Wow.
Incredibly biased opinion. A.
A.
Everyone should like the PSP.
Is the Moon on it? Can I play To the Moon on it?
Probably. You can probably do that somehow.
No, but there's a fishing game. There's a fishing
game.
You can put anything on the PSP if you know how to do it right.
Yeah, pretty much.
You can put anything in the PSP if it doesn't crush the PSP.
Hello, I play Cave Story on my PSP.
Flat surface.
So you can listen to cheese anywhere, even outside.
It's true.
Oh, God. I'm changing my... I'm just going to give it a...
Yeah, just go back to F. Right. No, never mind.
I gave it an A because I finally was convinced to actually buy one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has a lot of things, and it's one of those systems where, I mean, I think you could get away with not having either a PS3 or a 360, but really the PSP, the things that are there and only there, usually. And
like
I think UMD that's
movies.
Right, yep.
Yeah. How was the year in UMD
movies? Hellboy, right? Yeah.
Van Helsing.
What?
Van Helsing.
Oh, yeah.
iRobot.
Oh man, as someone who, you know, sells video games, that whole segment was hilarious because it's absolutely true. And also lives in New Jersey and visits Philadelphia and New York enough to see that crap happen all the time.
All right. But let's move on to consoles. Let's start with the
PS3 had a pretty good year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel like it had a very inconsistent but good year.
It wasn't as good as last year.
I feel like it had the tent poles. It had Little Big Planet at the beginning, Uncharted at the end, and Infamous in the middle. But I mean, I feel like Killzone kind of, you know, flamed out. Resistance was not as good as people wanted it to be.
Resistance 3 is pretty good though.
Hyperdimension Neptunia.
Oh
right.
Man.
Oh
yes. That was this year. I'll tell you this though. I'll tell you this.
Yakuza 4.
It took them nearly 5 years and a major PR disaster hacking, but they are just now, like, they're really getting the PSN. Like, the PlayStation Network has gotten really great in the last few months. Like, it's gotten, like, I'm excited to check it every week. I've never been that, like, it's always been a thing where, like, on Thursday or Friday, I'd be like, oh, I should see what's on the PSN. Now it's, like, Tuesday night, I'm checking out the PSN, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of really
I jumped on like the PSN Plus subscription like from day one when they launched it. It only just now expired like a few days ago, and I've actually gotten some good use out of that. Some very nice mileage for the $50 I paid for it. I've saved at least $500 on stuff I bought.
Yeah, a lot of cheap stuff. They've gotten a lot of rewards. A lot of sales are getting done right.
Yeah,
the whole Steam integration thing, like it only don't use it for one game, but they did it pretty well.
Oh yeah, Portal 2 on the PS3, best version if you can't play the PC version.
Oh yeah,
or I mean, if you can't play the PC version, it's, then
it's, yeah, it's also the best version for that because you get that. Yeah. Yep.
But it was a pretty good year.
I'm gonna go with a solid B. I feel like it had a decent year with what it did. And nothing really grabbed me like it had in previous years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was all right.
B+. B+. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, B+.
Yeah,
I'm going to agree with Graham on this one. I'm going to go with a B.
All right. Let's move on to the 360, where this may have been secretly the worst year for the 360. Am I...
Secretly?
Secretly, in the sense that most people who play the 360 are too dumb to notice this. I think it's the real problem.
Yeah, no.
There were a lot of, I mean, there were third-party titles that really dominated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There but, were you know, very... But, I was talking about this at work the other day, actually. Like, there were very few exclusive titles for the 360 this year. Yeah, I can only name, like, two when we were talking about it.
Halo Anniversary. Yeah. Dance Central 2 was pretty good.
Gears.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Gears.
Gears 3 and Gears, was really good. I heard good things about the Gunstringer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gunstringer. Yeah, the Kinect had a really good year. Are we judging the Kinect as part of this?
We are, and I want to talk about that, because the Kinect had a much better year than it did in its first
holiday season.
The Kinect
had a really good year, I would say.
But I feel like I feel like the Kinect lineup was missing something. Was missing the game for core. You know what I'm saying? Like, Gunstringer is great as like a compliment to something else you're playing.
What about Black
Ops? I don't know. I think as well. I've never played a Kinect before, so I'm still I don't have much perspective on the actual game. But I don't know. The Gunstringer seems like that game, and it's actually kind of the game that's pushing me over to eventually getting it. Like there was a sale on Amazon. I think it was not just on Amazon, but a lot of places. But on Amazon particularly, I saw it. For $100 you get a Kinect, of course Kinect Adventures, and then two code download codes for Fruit Ninja and the Gunstringer, and I was willing to buy that almost just for the Gunstringer.
That's the regular bundle right now.
No, it's
still on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it was on sale for $100 instead of $150.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's
for
still $100.
Yeah, no, I think
it's $100 on Amazon right now.
Yes, right now with that bundle.
Oh, shit.
It had a good year. I wasn't expecting to be like, oh yeah, so Dance Central 2 is pretty good. It's kind of like Dance Central again, but like, yeah, I thought they were going to go somewhere with it, and I think they might, but I feel like we're still in the first generation of games, which I thought we'd be through by now. So, I mean, I'm going to give the 360 a C-. The Kinect part is really what, you know, what's holding it up there. Because otherwise, you know, you got Gears, which is fine, but it's just Gears.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm going to give it the same thing, C-. But it, like, if it were just at the Kinect, though, I'd give the Kinect a solid B+ this year. Kinect did a good job.
I'd give it some sort of B, but yeah.
A little more optimistic about it, but I'd give it a C.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the Wii.
Do we have to?
We do.
What is there to talk about?
We had an okay year.
Zelda and Kirby.
Zelda, Kirby.
Fortune Street.
Come out here.
Yep.
Rayman.
Well, the great thing is I now own a copy of Xenoblade, which I bought a month before the announcement. Like, so maybe I should have waited on that. But now I can play it and then say, hey, if this game is really great, I can call it one of my favorite games of next.
You're going to get to play it like 5-6 months before everyone else, so that's still good.
I'm probably going to start it this week, actually. So, besides that, Zelda and Kirby, and you know, I guess.
I mean, Zelda's really good, as it always is. But
Zelda keeps it from failure. I think.
Correct.
I think it gets a D of some sort.
D for Dead and Arrival.
I'll refrain from commenting on Zelda myself.
Do that then. But yeah, like, you know, Zelda, good. Kirby, good.
Kirby, good. Yeah. They're basically, you know, more of Zelda and Kirby, which are fine. I like those series, but...
Yeah. God, there had to have been something. I know there was at least something else I wanted to buy.
No.
But I didn't, and that's the important
Fortune
part.
Street? Who's okay? Is okay? As we just talked about, Fortune Street's...
Were you really excited about Wii Play Motion? Was that it?
Motion Plus is pretty cool.
Motion Plus is pretty cool in Zelda, at least.
They re-released games at $20, which was good, right? Yeah.
Well, Mario Galaxy was pretty good at that point, because it was like $50 for it.
Fluidity was good, right? Yep.
Oh, yeah, Fluidity was fine for a WiiWare title.
Chrono Trigger.
Moto Heroes was good. Anybody else play Moto Heroes? It's by the guys who did Trials HD and made a, like, a kind of party game version of that over on the Wii. It was pretty good.
I bought Final Fantasy III on Virtual Console. I'd say that was okay.
That's pretty cool.
I do love Final Fantasy III/6.
This is depressing. Anybody give it above a D?
No.
Not really.
Okay. And we'll move on to our final system of the year. And I think I may not be the only one who thinks this. I may. The PC.
I thought you were going to say, I actually seriously thought you were going to say Neo Geo Pocket Color. I was waiting for it.
A+.
I was waiting for it.
A+.
Yeah. A+.
Great year for releases. No.
I played the shit out of my Neo Geo Pocket Color this year, you guys.
Yep. I'm with you. But
PC gets an A+ for me.
Yeah. This was year. A really, really strong year for the PC. Now,
it was the first strong year in a long time,
now,
I would say.
I mean, it's strange because this year of many years, I don't think there was a PC exclusive that really is...
Gemini Rue.
Well, that really is in the running for game of the year consideration. You know what I'm saying?
To the Moon.
I mean, they're really good games. I get it. To the Moon's great. I'm getting that to the point, like in previous years, like for example, last year, you had StarCraft II and Civ V, which were phenomenal games, almost universally acclaimed and PC only. Mm-hmm. But then this year, I mean, I still think it's probably the best year for PC gaming.
Was Meat Boy this year or last year?
Ever. Huh?
Was Meat Boy this year or last year?
If I'd actually had a PC to actually play, you know, good games during like 90% of the year, then I'd probably go for something like The Witcher 2. But since I couldn't, then, you know.
Yeah. The Witcher 2 was good. But that said, I don't know many people who prefer it to Skyrim.
Was it this year?
I think that was last year.
Yeah, it was last year.
But no, I think this is a combination of some really polished games that happen to be better on PC, like we're talking Skyrim and Portal 2.
Mm-hmm. Battlefield 3. Different game on PC. Right. It's amazing.
And then I really think indie games have hit this point where, yes, in previous years, they were good, they were, you know, interesting, but I think this year they kind of reached a level of polish to where... It's not. This is a really cool indie game, but like this is a really cool game. You know, like we get more like we got Bastion and
Gemini.
I forgot to mention
Dungeon Defenders,
Minecraft.
I forgot to mention the Summer of Arcade and talking about Xbox, which was pretty good. But
it was all right.
Was Terraria this year?
Terraria was this year.
Yeah, but and technically, if we're gonna include Minecraft,
Minecraft was officially released.
It came out this year.
But yeah, I mean,
Killing Floor. I'm just going through my Steam list.
Okay,
I was looking at games.
Let's keep it moving then.
Binding of Isaac.
But yeah, so like there were a lot of interesting experiences this year. Much more than like there's this cool thing with this cool concept that this person came up with. I think there were more full formed ideas on the indie front. But all in all, like this was a really good PC year. I don't think anyone disagrees, but I will ask. I'm giving it an A+. How about you, Andrew? Grade.
A+ sounds good to me.
Sean.
A+.
Jerry.
Yeah.
NA, since I didn't play a single PC game this year.
Yep. And Chris, I know you haven't either. You're over there just.
Puzzle Agent 1 was last year, right?
Puzzle Agent 2 was really good, though, if you want to play that one.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, back, you guys, Back to the Future.
That was, well...
That was adequate.
I loved that game.
Jurassic Park, anyone?
No. Shut your mouth.
Hey, Justin, who reviewed that for us, that's going up, I think, tomorrow. that he kind of liked it. But there are a lot of QTEs there. I don't think that was a real heavy hitter this year.
That game makes Jurassic Park 3 look like Jurassic Park 1.
Oh.
The films.
Whoa.
Oh, it makes Jurassic Park 1 look like Dino Riders. Okay, wait, I mean, it makes Dino Riders look like Jurassic Park.
But yeah. So, Chris, I got to ask, because your two main systems died.
Yeah. Not been a fun year for me.
What?
Thank God I have the board game thing or I'd go insane.
What is your next step?
My next step is...
books.
Holding out as long as I can until the DS gets a game that I want. Or until they release the XL version, which I really, really want.
3DS XL. I need
a DS XL. I can't play a regular DS anymore.
Yeah, that is the one thing about the 3DS that's really been bothering me, is that it's a little small. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can't really complain because it's designed for people who are smaller than me. So that's how it goes. Little ones need to be able to play it.
I'm pretty much waiting on either a 3DX XL or for Rune Factory to come out. So,
Eventually, they're going to release, like, if the next Layton game comes out for it. Or my wife is really, really looking forward to the Animal Crossing on it. And yeah. I played that game 4 times already. So,
there's something about that game. All right.
But other than that, I guess if the Wii U comes out at the end of the year and I'm able to get that without having to wait an extra week like I did for the Wii,
yeah,
then possibly.
All right. Well, wrap it up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up here. Everybody have a good holiday season. We'll be back at the end of the year with a special episode discussing our Game of the Year nominees. Look forward to it. All right. For Chris, Matt, Jerry, John, Andrew, and Graham, see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.